Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my sample trading portfolio, coming up next. Hello everybody, welcome back for another week, another one of my episodes. Last week, basically, we see the party sort of finishes with now President Joe Biden is in the White House. The stock market thing doesn't need to hold up the market to celebrate for his inauguration anymore. And this week, probably, boom, gone down a lot. I mean, the past Monday, that Dow Jones actually went down to like 400 or 500 points at a time, but then recovered to be only down like 37 points. And then Tuesday, Dow Jones only down like 23. Not much yet happening, but then boom, suddenly something happened. On Wednesday, it's minus down 633 points or something. And then Thursday, boom, suddenly come back up like 400-500 points, but only recover 300 points. Again on Friday, down another 620 points or something. So within the space of around a week, Dow Jones actually gone down to 1,000 points. And that's not just Dow Jones, you saw NASDAQ as well, gone down a bit, so it's S&P 500. And then Hong Kong Index, and even on Friday, Nikkei 255 in Japan has all gone down. As if there's some coordinated effect actually going on. And last couple of weeks, I already noticed, but I've been saying in my podcast, is there's if you look at the banks, the U.S. banks, most of it end or middle of January have already started showing weakness. So you use my two ATR system, basically, two times ATR line. And you actually see that the share price of a lot of the banks, American banks, so even you can use the 20 days moving average line. A lot of them actually broke through that and actually continued to go down well before what happened last week in the stock market. So it seems like, the banks, we all know, is holding a bag of excrement at the moment as far as I'm concerned, because all these loans and stuff that people cannot really repay due to the COVID-19 pandemic, people out of work or put on furlough, didn't actually have much of a chance to go and save their jobs and expand income, that kind of thing. And a lot of it is still being held up by the government's laws around the world, like UK the same, in America. Basically, the government is taking the ability to pay the rent and mortgages for the average Joe, so to speak. Okay, and they keep on pumping more money into people's pocket and then just like temporarily hold them up, so to speak. So the house of cards are basically temporarily held up by central banks around the world. And the federal government, the other thing, financial regulators, and the banks are holding those loans and commercial loans as well as residential loans. Some of them obviously have been sold to pension funds and things like that, but then a lot of them probably having difficulties now even paying mortgages and things. So some of those pension funds holding all those funds and stuff is going to have an issue. And so the bank sort of shows some problems. But the thing is, if you look at those shares in the banks, you cannot notice like end of October, early November, when the U.S. election actually happened, and you actually see all the banks on the lead the way, and then the U.S. indexes and the indices around the world sort of moved up in tandem. And now same thing now in the reverse, the banks seems to have got weakened, and then the indices around the world sort of weakened as well. So it's a sort of telling that a lot of money somehow is gone into celebrate perhaps the U.S. election. And then every 4 years, people know that the year of election year in America, most likely, not necessarily all the time, but most likely, the U.S. stock market will move up. And looks like that's the truth. At the start, before November, they were saying that if people in U.S. vote for President Donald Trump, then will be more or less status quo. The stock market will continue to go up. You vote for Joe Biden, there are probably a lot of rules and and so forth from the financial market, and then you would bring the stock market down. But then somehow at the end of October, everybody, you know, reversed the sentiment. I think reversed that, you know, getting Joe Biden in maybe good, because he's bringing in the spendings and you know, get the market a bit of pause and a bit of reality check, so that American economy can grow better, and also the way that the COVID-19 was handled by President Donald Trump was not good at all, and hoping President Joe Biden can do a better job and therefore have the economy open up quicker and that kind of thing. So we can all see that, you know, how market is so inefficient in a way that it's very much sentiment driven. 1 minute you're thinking of something, next minute something else. I think this is what Warren Buffett have explained quite delicately and very well in some of his books, to say that the stock market is manic depression or something. Basically, 1 minute is really relatively feeling very high, top of the world. Next minute, feeling, you know, wide in the bottom of the pit, and then keep on changing that every day. So it's like the mood swing from extreme high to extreme low. Sometimes just a middle, or sometimes be more realistic and calm. Other times very volatile, and it's exactly what's actually showing up in the stock market. So overall, last week market it shows signs of actually toppling up. And it's coming down as well. But on the other hand, I don't think, except one or two, I think maybe only one Hong Kong commentator actually talks about it in on YouTube and so on his own channel, is that have anybody actually in U.S. or the Western world actually talking any of the Asian indices like Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand, India, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Japan, so to speak. You know, one thing very, very telling as well, we see, you know, last month or two, you know, people all talking about Bitcoin, but you notice that Vietnam stock market was doing something similar, parabolic move, and then now suddenly, I think about a week or two ago, suddenly dropped down, I think about a week ago, quite badly, and recovered a bit, but it's gone down a bit. And Malaysia seems to be better, but it is showing a head and shoulder formation. Thailand seems to have gone a bit sideways, didn't go as extreme high as much, but it's not doing well, it's just moving sideways. India was very similar, it looks very similar, just like the Nasdaq in America. It just continued to go up, but only last, I think Friday, have actually broke the short-term 2 ATR line. South Korea is not doing that well, it's something to watch about. This didn't go too energetic, so to speak, yet. South Korea is still there. Hong Kong has moved down, as I said earlier, and then so is Nikkei. It shows that a lot of the Asian stock market sort of come down. It's sort of like a replay of what happens back in, I think, 97 with the financial market problem within Asia, when Thailand really suffered, you know, the value of the Thai baht actually gone down a lot. So Southeast Asia really, I mean, Malaysia affected a lot, that kind of thing. And those kind of storms look, you know, very similar. It's coming with the basically the too high of the Asian currencies and basically overspend of money and expenditures and stuff for all these Asian countries causes a lot of problems. And that we sort of seen that replaying somehow, some way at the moment. So it is worth noting that, you know, indices around the world is moving around in somehow in tandem again. So it's Asia, this time is leading the downturn, and then America and the Western world basically, you know, sort of catching up and doing similar thing. So it's something that's worthwhile to, you know, to watch out, that this tsunami of money that actually gone into the stock market, and then further more money from Joe Biden, another $1.9 trillion of relief for the COVID-19 relief, the second round of money. It's just going to cause the U.S. Dollar go to weaken somewhat. Now, when the money actually go into the market, I mean, the U.S. dollar just continue to go down. So my initial thesis is just from the fundamental side, the US dollar is going to cause us issue with weakening, so anything that's foreign exchange, any crosses that's against US dollars will move up. Anything that price in US dollars will go up. So in this case, you know, gold and silver is something that I'm sort of really looking to for this year. It sort of raised its head already last year, but I think this year is still a lot more to come. And I think people need to be worried about that. You know, this might be a little pre-play of what might be coming down later in the year. Now Joe Biden actually into the White House, give him like 100 days or 3 to 4 months, and then the reality starts coming to, you know, to see how well Joe Biden is handling the COVID-19 vaccine, the relief of the putting money into it, into the stock market to allow people to go back to work, and then financial relief from further financial stimulus and relief from the US government and so forth. We just have to wait and see, but I just strongly feel, you know, there's a lot of goodwill, so to speak, given to Joe Biden. If he doesn't deliver, the market is going to, you know, topple up, and you know, Asian market seems to be leading here, so watch out. The other thing, of course, this year, this week, I mean, Wednesday or Tuesday, I already talked about, is GameStop. There was a lot of things on YouTube or internet or news, even BBC talking a bit about it, and it just so that I think there's like a power play actually going on here, you know. From my point of view, this is a very good example of, you know, how trend following actually can be used to look at. I mean, initially, like, you know, for GameStop and a lot of other company in America, the rules is, I mean, you can short sale is can be happen in a lot of country, but in America, for some reason, you're allowed to, let's say the company have 100 shares and then you can short the company of more than 100 shares, so whatever is existing out there with the general public is actually, you know, allowed to be short more than what is actually with the availability of the share. So for GameStop, it has been short 137% or something. So basically, more short than the number of shares has been issued, and this basically got caught on by a group of people called Wall Street Bets on the Reddit group, and basically, you know, started to use Robinhood to get people together, in general retail investors, to try to have a go against the established institutional fund hedge fund managers who have shot heavily on the GameStop, and then the retail investor basically just keep on buying GameStop and causes quite a bit of issue. And I think it's all this news on BBCs, on YouTube and things, I think it's over this crying over spilled milk. I mean, this is the type of thing that an institutional investor does it. You know, remember, if you watch Wall Street, the first one, remember how, you know, Gordon Gekko play around and just drive shares down and then buy them and then break them apart, sell them or something later on. You know, this happened all the time and people make films out of that kind of thing. But it's always done within the financial institution, people with loads of money, big money. But this time round, it's a small investor group together becomes so big with all the amount of money and movement together, then actually, you know, step on the toes of institutional investors. Causes, I think, some of the companies actually go belly up and need extra financial injection. Apparently did have something to do with Robinhood, and it's causing Robinhood, the apps, to sell and buy shares in stock market in the US, to actually stop allowing people to buy GameStop shares anymore. And even now the US government said, you know, they probably would look into that kind of things. But overall, is this, as far as I'm concerned, is the institutional investor got caught with their pants down, so to speak. They heavily shorted one shares, and the retail traders basically sniffed that out and find out, for some reason, why GameStop has been short so much, let's group together and basically buy GameStop shares. Now, there's no fundamental here. It's just basically retail investor retaliate or something, or just general public retaliate back to the financial industry and then basically group together and buy GameStop, causing all this what you call a short squeeze. Basically, all those institutions, big financial institution firm, who is shorting heavily on GameStop. I don't know why they do that initially. Probably want to buy them out later on and then put some good people in the top of the board and try to, you know, have the shop turn around and do different things or something. But whatever the reason it is, it's been heavily shot by institutional investors, and the retail investors basically buy it up. So what happened is, when the share price of GameStop continued to move up, all those people shorting GameStop, all those hedge funds and institutional financial, is losing money, loads and loads of money. And as the more retail investor group together and continue to buy the GameStop, it causes even more problems. So it's a bit like, you know, the financial institution got caught but unexpectedly by a group of retail investors, and they keep on saying, you know, this is bad, you know, the retail investors shouldn't be allowed to do this kind of thing or whatever. And some BBC, some news in America basically say, well, this might all end badly, you need to protect a retail investor. No, in my view, is basically retail investors do exactly what hedge funds industry have been doing to themselves anyway. But this time around, rather hedge fund against hedge fund, the retail investor actually, you know, take the handle and then move things up. And this short squeeze causing the professional traders losing a lot of money, and they basically need to cover the short and buy the share back. But because the GameStop share price has been driven up by the retail investor from, I mean, like $5 or $10 or something to like $300 or something, so the some of those hedge funds actually go really into big trouble. This might have something to do with what happened last week as well with the stock market. It could well be that. And we are not quite sure if that will actually cause a small issue later on. And this is quite a, small people is basically biting back to the big boy, so to speak. But the thing is, I think there's also more to this than just what is say on the news media, that, you know, there's a lot of quantitative funds out there to actually, they are scanning the market for movements and stuff, and then, you know, get on to actually upside or the downside to make money, either shorting or going along. And I think some of the professionals who actually got caught in the pants down may have able to, you know, switch over, so to speak, or at least go, you know, with their, because they got a lot more money than, you know, retail investors, use them up all their money to actually buy the shares, and also use quantitative methods to actually drive the share to even higher. So what happens then is, one side of the account probably they lose a lot of money, but then they use their, you know, money from another port to take part basically, and to further, you know, the rise of the GameStop shares. So they also win when the price going up. So to use those profit naturally to cover the losses they have received from at the short ends, so to speak, to balance the book, so to speak. But it sort of shows that, you know, that's, I'm guessing, some professional investor probably would get sort of stiff things out and then basically participate. And this is why I think it's gone so parabolic. It's not just people. I don't believe just retail investors in general. There are probably a lot of, you know, program trade actually gone on to act because they've seen movement on some shares and just gone on to it. And then other financial institutions get together. This is just my personal view. To move so fast, so quickly from, you know, below $50 or something, $20 or so, and then suddenly go to like 10 times to like $300 in a very short space of time. It is sort of unheard of before. I think, of course, retail investor, because of the internet allow people to talk to each other very quickly than texting, SMS on the phone. The internet, you can chat rooms and more or less instant get the message. You can get spread around so much. With the lockdown as well, people will actually stay on the computer for much longer and long period stuff, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think there's a lot more to it than just whatever the stock market actually tell you. But the thing is, this is a good example of something that we need to can learn about things. So first of all, if you have a trend following system, first of all, assuming the first problem first, we solve that problem, that you know somehow GameStop is going to do some movement, or you've been watching GameStop for a while, okay? Let's assume you've been watching GameStop for a while, and then suddenly you have some retail investor drives, your share price actually gone up, and you've been running a trend following system on it. So initially, you're probably making money on the downside and very happy, and then suddenly somebody come in and big order flow come in, and the retail traders basically come in, then reverse the whole game. So from a short play into a long play, so as to buy the shares up. And if you are a trend follower, if you always follow your system will have told you to actually go long on GameStop and get out from your short play. You probably lose quite a bit of money, depends on how volatile the switch is. And then you have gone on and become long on GameStop. And so for the last week or two, you probably make a lot more money than what you have lost when you switch from shorting the shares into going long onto the share and trying to make money. This basically shows that if you follow your system and don't actually think that the market cannot turn at any time, and you follow the system well and agree that things are always changing and really do your homework and follow your system, then you should make money. You will probably get hurt when you switch, which is what I said before. It's like in trend following, it's always you never go into the top, and you never get out of you never go into the bottom, and you never get out from the top, so to speak. Okay, so you always just capture the meat. So when the market sort of turn and the signal shows your system to actually it's time to turn, you lose that top and bottom bit, and you always go in the middle and you grab that big middle part of money, and you have make quite a bit of money out of this GameStop issues for the last couple of days. As far as I'm concerned, the main problem here is first of all is how do you actually get on to GameStop? You don't actually look into all the time, and by the time you let's say you heard a friend some news or whatever newspaper or new channel you heard about it, the market might have moved up quite a bit as well. But the good thing is, even the market might have moved, it's nothing to stop you as a investor to put in a little bit small first, to see if the trend is still continuing. And then if it does, and just pyramiding like what I have talked about before in my other podcast. So this is definitely something good to look at as a research subject on this one. And also, this brings back memory of a couple of things. First of all, 2018, remember Tesla shorts? Lots of people were saying Tesla's projected number of manufactured cars was never achieved, and there was loads of people saying electric vehicles is never going to be complete with normal gasoline vehicles, blah 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 blah, and then loads of people were shorting Tesla, and then they got basically got caught out because Elon Musk did deliver on his words, and even though not quite there yet, but it's very close to what he's promised, and then the Tesla continue to deliver, and then people obviously gone on to the share and buying and on the result, and a lot of those people, big institution again, got caught out, and they have to reverse their trade. And then Tesla, remember 2018, just shot up quite a bit, and it was on news, even on BBC News as well. And just the same thing starts happening again, on this GameStop. And also, if you follow silver and gold in any way, you can remember the Hunts brother was trying to corner the silver market at the time, and did quite a bit of damage initially, but then lost out because they got found out that there has been cornered the market, and other people comes in and caused lots of problems to them. And that's another thing to remember. So this GameStop thing is not new. Probably will happen more often now because we have a lot more people group together on the internet and try to, you know, put their money together, so to speak, and also it's easy to spread that information around. So if people caught on to something, can, you know, that action, the movement can move very quickly. And I think Robinhood, to the Robinhood app, basically it's good for the name, you know, robbing the rich and give to the poor. So in this case, you know, Robinhood app is actually, however good or bad, you know, in this episode, Robinhood application you may be using is robbing, or one way or another, is helping the retail investor to provide him a method to actually get some money from the big boys or the financial institution. The big boys may not like it, but that's just how things are. So it's definitely, you know, this is a good thing to actually look at for, you know, as I research statistics. And also the other thing, with any shares or stock exchange or indexes or forex that have so much volatility, move a big up and down, the other thing you'll find out is your longer term system, like the one that I have used, you've been using 50 days or 2 days moving average, you caught most of those big moves anyway. And then of course you will never get from the top, and you probably have to lose a bit, but at least you leave the big boy, so to speak, or other people fight him out in the market, and then you basically take the chunk on the middle chunk of the meat, so to speak. So you let the boys and girls fight it out at the bottom end and the top end, you know, and then you just take the meat, so to speak. Remember, to trade is not to make money all the time, 100% all the time, but basically follow your systems, and your system have a positive edge, then over time you make money. But the main thing for you is make sure you have money to play, and also take a longer term view. And for a very volatile market, it's always good to use the longer term view, or longer term systems, and you basically drive out all those noises, all these volatile sudden move, 100 points down, 100 points, something that we sort of see in gold lately as well, something that is happened on silver on Friday, because I think the all these people on Wall Street bets is turning their views onto silver, apparently. That's what the talks in town is on Friday. But that's what is actually happening. So I think it's going to be quite a lot more volatile for the coming weeks and months coming over. With yes, this is like, as well as I said, it's a sweet spot for Joe Biden, President Joe Biden. But I think he has a very difficult things on his hand that he had to do, and it's not going to be easy. The stock market might not like it, and we just had to wait and see. So basically this is more or less the update of this week, and I will next talk about my portfolio coming up. Okay, first off the bat is an Apple. Like I said early on, there's quite a bit of movement in the stock market. So short term for Apple is now a sell, a change from buy last week to sell. Medium term is neutral, also a change, and long term is still a buy. So, yep, Friday and basically Wednesday and Friday have caused quite a bit of movement, and there's more to come. Next is Amazon. Short term is still a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. Not much from last week. Australian dollars, again US dollars. Well, this have changed now. Short term now is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is still a buy. So, there's, for some reason, even though the US dollar index is still hovering around 90.50 area, not even able to go 91. I think it's gone as high as 90.7. But the USD seems to have gained strength somewhat, again, Australian dollars anyway. So, and short term is a sell now, and the medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. So time to switch gear, mate. Next is Brent crude and WTI US crude oil. Both of them are short term, medium term, and long term is still a buy. So he's basically going sideways for much of, I think, last month or so. Is plateauing and slowing down a little bit. And if you look at the chart itself, I think I mentioned last week, there is a large downtrend line, actually, where the price is now, and it's pushing it down. And for some reason, it looks like that is having a ceiling on this Brent crude and WTI crude oil. And even though the system still says a buy, it's time to watch out. So the, you know, the advance seems a bit lower. However, that's only indicator. Always follow your system until your system say change side, don't change. But there is some lamppost, so to speak, showing that the ceiling is there, is giving a chopping any movements or go higher for the crude at the moment. Next is DAX. This is following America. Short term is a sell now, medium term, long term is neutral. So yeah, so last week changes in American market definitely causes issue in Europe as well. Next is Dow Jones. Yep, short term is a sell, medium and long term is neutral. FTSE 100 just following his big brother in America. Short term is a sell, medium and long term is also neutral. So it's quite a bit of change for indices. That's what I said in my podcast earlier. Next is gold, still a sell, short term, medium term is neutral, long term is also a sell. But one thing though, even though with you would have thought the recovery of US dollar index will have caused the gold to go down, you know, maybe quite significantly, but still holding well above the 1800 mark, 1820 marks over there. It tried I think early in the month, in the week, and it have, I think on Friday, even gone up to like 1870, and then you can come back down again just below 1850. So it's hovering around 1850 area, but never gone below 1800 or 1820 area. So it might be still a sell as far as I'm concerned, but I follow system, but my feel is there's still legs on it, so I'm watching this. So short term for gold is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is also a sell now, but don't seem to be going down much. But let's see how it goes. You know, this is the things that all your your previous view, your biases and stuff means nothing in the stock market. If it's a turn and your and price actually show it turns, it's time to turn. So yeah, watch out on gold. And next is Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong. Yes, for a big brother in America. Short term is a sell, long term, medium term is also a buy at the moment. So it's not as bad as US, but it's turning. Next is NASDAQ. Short term is a sell, medium and long term still a buy. So yep, next is after that is Nikkei. Again, short term is a sell, long term, medium term is a buy. So you can see this mini, the indexes here that we are tracking on this sample. Portfolio, my sample portfolio of mine, is short term has a lot of changes on the mean indices. The medium and long term still sort of holding there and about. So the signals are here. Things seem to be moving in tandem. So just continue to watch it. Next is silver. Short term is a buy. Apparently, neutral for medium term and long term is a buy. Now, while I talk about the GameStop thing with the Wall Street Bets people, they next is looking at silver. Apparently, new silver is the next one that's really short a lot by institutional investors, and they call it the Wall Street Bets is the BS or something. WTS, and they basically just trying to help the silver market now and put some money on that silver market. We just have to wait and see how that might turn out to be. And next is US dollar against the Chinese yuan. The Chinese dollar still sell across the board. Short term, medium term, long term is a sell. That means the Chinese dollar is still very, very, very strong. Even though the US dollar index recover a little bit, it has some effect on the daily chart, so you know, moving quite a bit, but it still haven't broken any important levels yet. So it's continuing to sell. Next is US dollar against Japanese yen. Short term is a buy, medium is also a buy, and long term is a buy, so sort of change a little bit. British pounds against Japanese yen and British pound against USD. Even though last couple of weeks and maybe a month now, I keep on saying, you know, maybe a bit too high for British pound because you got Brexit problem and so forth. But the stock market, foreign exchange basically just saying, you know, otherwise just continue to buy. So yeah, follow the system, even though how much, once again, I show you, you know, I might have certain biases. I live in UK and feel those pains, but the foreign exchange or the NAS institutional investors think otherwise. I think, you know, British pound still got legs to go. So your system should be based on price, not what you think, what you feel, what you see. It should be on mathematics. It should be whatever the closing price is. And then basically use your system, again, mathematic base, and then make a decision. Take the emotion out of things. This is the main thing about trend following. It's because I like it, really. Because of this, it takes the emotion out of the equation, so you don't have to guess and double guess. You just have to follow the rule, make sure your calculation is not wrong. You can check and double check, even use computers or manually by hand with a calculator. But yeah, you can basically just stick to your systems, and your system say go one way, then go one way, reverse and reverse, no emotion. Next is Bitcoin. Short term is a sell, medium term is buy, long term is a buy. So I can see GameStop will be similar to Bitcoin. You know, volatile going up, volatile coming down, which happened. You know, 1 minute GameStop was going up a lot, and then Robinhood comes in suddenly say, "I'm not allowing people to buy GameStop anymore," and then the next day, it's allow people to buy again, so you can see the big volatility actually go up and down. So a bit like Bitcoin as well, but the same thing here is similar to Bitcoin. The GameStop has gone parabolic basically the last few days, really last week, just go from, you know, $50 sub $50 to, you know, $350 the account area within days, and that won't last. So whoever is on the actually on the buy side of GameStop, when you have your money, make sure you follow a system. Let's say you lose 10% or 20% of your money, get the hell out. You know, grab the money and go. You know, follow a system. Otherwise, it might just bang back down to, you know, down to sub below $50, and you basically see all your gains turn into nothing, thin air. Next is TLT ETF, iShare 20, which tracked the long dated bonds, government bonds. Short term is a sell, continue. Medium term is changed to neutral this week, and long term is still a sell. Next is Tesla. Short term, again, it's a just like the mean indices, the US is a sell for short term, medium long term is still a buy. Australian dollar, Australian in indices, short term now is a sell, medium and long term is neutral. And last but not least, Alibaba, short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. One thing though with Australian dollar, it's a bit strange that suddenly, you know, the US, the Australian indices as well as the Australian dollar and US dollars also moved down as well. So I think the whatever is actually happening economy wise in Australia is now showing itself up, but it has obviously problem with China. Spat with China is definitely never good. Basically, from as far as I see here, is China, instead of like America weaponizing the US dollars, I think the Chinese government is weaponizing the middle class. Basically, you have this enormous middle class want to buy things from around the world, and you want to poke the bear and not be nice to Chinese government. Well, sorry, the Chinese government can basically stipulate to these Chinese people, don't buy from particular countries. So yeah, so we've seen a lot of that hoo-ha going on with Australian government, and a lot of Australian ports are now not allowed, and it's will have an effect definitely on Australia economy, but how, we don't quite know yet. We'll just wait and see, but it's sort of maybe showing itself now in the indices as well as this Australian dollar itself. Who knows? But also the other news is the New Zealand is gaining on the back of Australian misfortune, so to speak, after I think it's 8 years or 5 years or something, quite a long time negotiating with China. They got some sort of trade deal with New Zealand with China, and this is something that, you know, maybe this is going to happen in the next, I don't know, 10-20 years, that, you know, both China and US have nuclear capabilities. They most likely probably won't be using those, but there might be some skirmishes, maybe, you know, planes shooting each other down or something small, little war or something, but never touches any big nuclear bombs or hydrogen bombs or those kind of atom bombs or kind of thing. But there was some sort of, you know, push and bump each other, some sort of arguments, maybe a bit of fight, but relatively small, medium-sized scale rather than full-fledged inflation into China from America or from, you know, from other part of the world going to China kind of thing, like what happened, you know, when people when the ally went to Peking and burned down Forbidden City, you know, hundreds of years ago. It's not going to happen again. This China is going to be much stronger this time. The Western power, the rest of the world going, will be very much difficult. But I think on the other hand, American couldn't really afford that. You have its own internal problem. And it's really is replay of what happened to Britain, UK and US. You know, when UK was top of the world, a lot of people went to America and have a new life, American rise up and having a lot of skirmishes with British too, you know, quite a bit of fight, a bit of war in between, but at the end of the day, cannot stop the rise of America. So same thing here. Well, I don't think American can stop the rise of China, as well as India, as far as I'm concerned. It's just because there's so much people in there, you know. And, you know, was it 1.4 billion people and America only got 350 million, you know, like 3-4 times the size. And you try to tell, you know, big dinosaur how, or dragon in this case, to how to run things, the dragon probably just go crush America. But it's a power play, and many things China still well below the standard America, but America is sort of like, you know, very mature economy, mature in many ways, and China's still young kid on the block, so to speak, and very much a lot of things to catch on, but it's slowly getting there. And I don't think American government or the, yeah, in general, the American elite doesn't really want their status in the world to be challenged. Then obviously we push down on it. I mean, Japan did it, tried it, got and failed. USSR tried and failed all this Cold War, and now it's China's turn, and China is a totally different beast. So what happened in the next 20 years? I probably see, you know, a lot of country being forced to go, you know, one camp or the other. People who are more on the American side, probably Britain, who join US, some of the European country maybe, some other country around the world, maybe Japan, I don't know, Taiwan or some other thing, you know. Taiwan is not really a country, just province, but, you know, lean towards the US. And then others will be forced to lean towards China, basically for, you know, on China's good books, so it's continue selling to China to benefit on trade. You might not necessarily agree with what China is doing, but on trade front, you cannot tell somebody who you try to sell to how bad they are, and yet you want their money. It's difficult. So somehow the world have to select, you know, to choose. Do you want a moral high ground, or you want bread on the table? You want bread on the table, you have to continue to trade with China. This is going to happen, but, you know, US is not just going to give up this top dog, you know, number one spot to China that easily. So there'll be a lot of skirmishes. So all a lot of people, I mean, outside China and US relationship will get hurt. And Australia, unfortunately, somehow leading the pack, you know, with US, and then attack China on a way, just verbally speaking about, you know, this not fair, that's not fair, China not good, this or that, or also COVID-19, try to find out where it come from, blah, 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 blah. It really angered China. And then, US basically, in a way, you know, using Australia just, you know, somehow foolhardy just go against China first. And now it's having, you know, an blunt end of Chinese anger. And we see the, you know, the middle class things being used, weaponized already. And that's the type of things that be careful for. So, for example, we see like lobsters in Hong Kong. It's very cheap now. Why? Those supposed to be a lot of imports from Australia and America and Canada. They couldn't go into China. So what happened? I mean, initially the trade war is between US and China. So lobster from China, from US, which was supposed to send to China, is a delicacy, and Chinese pay a top dollar for those. And that basically the lobster industry in America gone down the pants because of the trade war issue. Then people of Chinese basically try to source that from Australia as well as Canada. So Australia and Canada actually gain on the loss of America market on this one, okay, on the lobster side. But then Huawei issue happens, and and the arrest of the CEO, financial CEO in Japan, not Japan, in Canada. So the Chinese stopped buying from lobster, in this case again, from Canada, or at least, you know, detrimental effect on it. And then Australia suddenly say, you know, I also want to find out exactly where COVID-19 comes from, just like what President Donald Trump was saying, and anger the Chinese. And what the Chinese do? Stop buying lobster from Australia as well. But some of that actually gone into Hong Kong, and there's some news and YouTube videos talk about cooking and stuff. They all saying how cheap Australian lobster is in Hong Kong, because nobody in China will actually want them or not allowed to go into mainland China. You can still sort of buy them in Hong Kong, because it's his own little world, little laws and stuff, you know. Just the one country, two system rules still works, you know. A lot of people doubt it, but it does still work in Hong Kong. So a lot of Hong Kong Chinese people are buying lobsters and eating lobsters now, but it's a much reduced price. And just to talk about, you know, lobster, it's hurting the Australian market, it's hurting the Canadian, it's hurting the US, all because, you know, everybody want to sell into China. You anger the Chinese government or try to have a trade war with them, Chinese just say, okay, I'm not going to buy from you guys. So what will happen? I mean, most likely Chinese probably on the lobster here probably get it from Europe, you know, from Brazil, I don't know, from South Africa, you know, anywhere, and maybe even India. You know, I don't know where the lobster come from around the world, but definitely China is got a source, it needs from somebody else. If, you know, one hand you don't want to play ball with him, fine, just say, okay, I don't buy from you then. Then don't come over and beg and say, you know, some political standing or whatever Australian government is doing to say, you know, we want to talk to China, but China's not talking to us, and we did whatever we need to, but we will not back down for our views, our stand. Fine, continue doing that. But China just said, the Chinese government just said, well, I don't even want to return your call. So at the moment, Australia is in between rock and hard plate. At the moment, its economy is faltered because COVID-19, and also because of a spat with China. And it can say whatever politics, you know, brinksmanship or whatever, you can say whatever you want. But at the end of the day, Australia economy is suffering because it's trying to, you know, have a moral high ground or anger the Chinese government. The Chinese government basically say, yeah, I'm basically not allowing you guys, or somehow say, you know, Australia's dangerous or the food not good enough or whatever, basically stopping some of the important export from Australia to reach into China, or put a lot of, you know, tariffs on it, that kind of thing. Bali, I think the latest is red wine, that kind of thing. And with that including like students, a lot of Chinese students go to Australia. You know, actually, you know, COVID-19, a lot of people blame China, and you can see how US is, and following Donald Trump says the China virus, blah 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 blah. And yes, some people do put their anger to Chinese people when they see them, and it's not just in Australia, you know, in UK here as well, you know, some of the Chinese actually get quite a bit of mouthful from locals. And I'm sure it's happening in other part of the country, in other world, other places in the world, in America as well. And basically China say, okay, Australia in this front is not so a safe place to go. So this, that definitely can see, you know, next 10-20 years, you see that weaponized of the middle class, the needs of the middle class. The Chinese government knows it's such a big market, everybody wants a bit of the pie. And you're not nice to the Chinese government just say, okay, I just go source somewhere, I don't need to buy from you, or buy from you when you are, you know, prices are very extremely low, and it's in its interest, and it will just continue. And I mean, everybody does that, you know, every country, you know, think of themselves, so every government, every family will do that. Some of us definitely, yeah, want to share and help each other, but, you know, you cannot really anger your buyer, tell them how bad they are, and then yet still expect the buyer continue to buy from you. You know, buyer just say, oh, you angered him so much, I go somewhere else. And that's what exactly what China is doing. So it might be showing up in Australian indices as well as Australian dollars, but we just have to wait and see. But I do definitely still see US dollars going down. So the foreign exchange for US Australian dollar will continue to go up, which is not good either for Australian export, because anything that is rated in US dollars will go down. Well, website we've got more expensive, okay? So the competitor in Australia export will be less because just cost more. So we just say wait and see all this power play between the world, and most likely gonna happen a lot more for 2021, and just wait and see. And this probably provide quite a lot of opportunities, but also a lot of volatilities within the stock market and foreign exchange, and cons and goes and things. And we just have to wait and see. So this is the end of my podcast for this week, and I'll speak to you next week. Happy trading and stay safe. Speak to you all next week. Bye for now. Ciao ciao.